So let's start. Yes.
So I have a question. Whenever we talk about the subjects such as art, dance, music, we say that these subjects purify the vital. So sir, we all had this question regarding how the vital is being purified and how these subjects, even individually, they affect.
Okay. How does art, dance, music purify the vital? I would rather substitute the word purify with refine. So there is a difference between refinement and purification. Okay? So what really is the vital? The vital is the source of energy. Okay? What kind of energy you are using? And what is art? In general, at its bottom, the purpose of art is to reveal the beautiful. Art is a worship of beauty, just as science is a worship of truth. Okay? So science is a worship of truth. It has its own methods. Art is a worship of the beautiful and it has its own methods. And the purpose of art is to reveal what is hidden behind nature. So many people in the, you know, they speak about realism in art. So they sometimes try to show that there is an ugly side which is hidden. You need to show it. But what is Indian thought? There is a beautiful side which is hidden. You need to show it. Art can bring out the beauty behind that which our physical senses conceive or perceive as ugly. Okay? That's one part. So wherever there is beauty, to appreciate beauty requires a certain degree of refinement. Beauty itself is a kind of refinement. And the more refined you are, the more refined will be your sense of beauty. So basically through art, music, dance and all the sculpture, painting, basically I am using the general word art now. Okay, because each of them is this, even photography, even cinema. It's to bring out the sense of the beautiful which is hidden behind. Now we may say that, well, there are stories which are, since I mentioned cinema as an art, there was a time when a kind of cinema came. Some of you may be aware of, you know, for instance, Shyam Benegal had movies which people at one point were very enamored with. So what are they showing? They are showing the struggle of a common man and his revolt, his anger. But see, where does art come in? When you see, because art can be of many kinds. When you see a typical Shyam Benegal movie, Akrosh, one of the movie's name was Akrosh. What does it do to you? It generates anger, isn't it? Why? Because there are people who are have-nots, who are deprived, who have been cheated by fate, and these people get angry and their anger is repressed, and sometimes they find a way to vent it out through a system. Would you call this art, or would you call it art, or what appeals to your inner sense? Say for instance in Mahabharata, the Pandavas are cheated. In Ramayana, Ram is cheated. And how does Ram and in the Mahabharata Pandavas face the same situation? Which one you find more beautiful? It's spontaneous answer, unless one is totally biased. So why do you find it more beautiful? Because their one reaction to circumstances is anger. And what does anger do? It destroys. And what do you see in the life of Ram and Pandavas? You see that they use adversity to build force, to build strength, to grow in wisdom. And this tale of courage, even if it were to fail, not that it fails, but there are stories where it fails, yet there is a grandeur and beauty in that. So it appeals to a deeper sense, whereas there is a crudeness of sense which, you know, looks at it, a wanton rage, destruction. Can destruction be beautiful? This too you will see in the same epics. Mahabharat particularly, destruction too can be beautiful. And in Indian mythology, for instance, Shiva Tandav. So what is he destroying? He is destroying a world which has turned away from truth. And why does he destroy? He destroys to release its soul, to release the beauty that was entrapped in a mass of ugliness. So what is the purpose of art? Behind everything, there is a beauty which is seeking to express itself. The tale of a hero who goes to martyrdom but stands up for what he believes in, that is something which inspires us. So music, again, when we talk of art, we are using a very general term, because nowadays especially, there is of course an art which sort of is full of depravity. It degrades you. There is a music which titillates and excites us. So obviously, it can't be a blanket. Like all science is not a search for truth. There is a lot of science which is trying to prove a point simply because you have fixed ideas in the head. So what we mean is that when these things are pursued in their true spirit, and for that matter, anything when it is pursued in its true spirit will take you to the spirit behind everything. So when we pursue art, music, all this in the true sense, we need to add today true sense. It's like all love is not beautiful, though love is the most beautiful thing, isn't it? But all love is not beautiful, because in human consciousness it becomes mixed up with many things, jealousies, hatred, possessiveness. You can't say it's a very beautiful love. So that's how these things can become very powerful means. Another very important thing, that art is got a lot to do with your senses. Philosophy nourishes the mind. Okay? Philosophy nourishes the mind. But art is received through the senses. You see, you hear, isn't it? Primarily these two, but other senses also. So senses very naturally are the conduits through which the grossest materials are passing. It's very difficult for senses to pick up the softer notes, the gentler notes, the sweet notes. So by this means, we make the senses capable of picking up that which is sweet, soft, refined, but buried under the mass of crudeness. I'll give one example here again. If you go to the beach, sometimes you will hear jing bang music going on. Okay, jing bang, you understand. No, what is jing bang music? Do you hear a sparrow somewhere there? Maybe it's there, but you don't hear. But when you hear a sparrow in the morning, birds when they are chirping, isn't it beautiful? So our senses have become very crude. Even in touch, we cannot understand what touch means, how touch can help, touch can heal, all kinds of touch. So when senses become more and more refined, and art is one of the means by which the senses can be refined, so that's how it helps the vital, refines the vital, and only a refined vital, then once the vital is refined, it can be purified far more easily. Its purification is a difficult process, not easy. But at least when it is refined, it can pick up those, the voice of God amidst all the noises of the world. That's why we need to refine it. Okay. Yes.
Just a follow-up. So what's the difference between the sound or the music of this sparrow, as you mentioned, and that hardcore, that jazz kind of music? Why are we differentiating? And how does both kinds of songs impact us?
Okay. First of all, why are we differentiating between different notes? First of all, do differentiations exist in creation or not? They exist. At every level they exist. Because there is a tendency in today's times to blur all the differentiation and distinctions. Behind the differences, there is a fundamental unity. That we agree, without a doubt. But differentiations exist. Why do differentiations exist in nature? Because they add in their own way. And that's where your question is very interesting. they add to the richness and even the beauty of creation. Okay, for example, a garden without grass. Grass is the humblest of plants, if you want to call it. But a garden without grass, you know, we know one which is rock garden, okay? So rock garden has its own beauty, but you can't conceive of a garden without grass. But then when there are different notes, when do you call those different notes together harmonious and beautiful, and when do you call them not beautiful? We'll come to differentiation later. Differentiation can be enriching. When one note does not so much overpower that it finishes all the other notes. See in taste. Supposing you get a food, what is the ideal food? You should not be able to know what masalas are put in it. Right? Supposing there is a lot of spice, then all other tastes are blurred. Okay? And that's, by the way, quality even of a team leader. You can learn simply from food. A team leader who finishes all his teammates by his overpowering personality. There you can see from this thing where you can go. Look at Ram's management. Ram could have gone and finished all the, he didn't need anyone. But see how he encourages, makes them fight. So Ramayan becomes a totality. Imagine Ram went, used 4 Brahmastra and finished the whole thing. So in creation, differentiation can be a means of enriching or it can be a means of finishing. So now we come with that, anything which is very strong and intense, okay, if it overpowers the other notes and finishes it, then it's not harmonious. It exists. Nobody is saying you don't have a right to exist, but it's not harmonious. Notes should blend into each other. And there are musics like that. I'm not saying that every loud music is necessarily a bad music. But I'm simply saying that there is a harmonious kind of blending of notes and there is a very discordant kind of blending of notes. So first we should differentiate between that even if we take that all notes are notes, and why we want to differentiate, we need to differentiate because, well, all these different notes are meant to create a more harmonious, complex and harmonious creation, like different sections of human beings. I'll come to that. This is another problem. No, all human beings are same. Right? Now, if one human being or one group of human beings tries to overpower all others, finish all others, what would you call it? Won't it create disharmony and imbalance? As a natural reaction, you will see some other group coming up and saying, okay, we are going to fight. Why? Because in nature, there is an instinct towards harmony and balance. So, ideally, any group of humanity, everybody is free to be the way they want to be. But each one should allow space to everyone else, not only to exist together, but to harmoniously grow and even blend together. So, this applies everywhere if you take each human being as a note. Okay? So, while nothing wrong with sparrow has its own charm, and the shrill voice, what is that bird called? No, quail is lovely. There is also a bird with a shrill voice. I'm forgetting the name. It may be sharp to the ear, but it has its own beauty. Okay? It has its place. The roar of a lion has its own place. The thunder of the clouds has its own place. So everything has its place. It's not, we should not look at these things in a pejorative sense. Yet we should also know the difference. What happens when you hear the shrill voice, the quail or the cuckoo or the sparrow? What kind of feeling it evokes? Tell me. And it's soft. It feels soft. Huh? It evokes a kind of joy, gladness. What happens when you hear thunder in the skies? A roar of a lion. Maybe courage, maybe fear. Depends on the recipient. Roar of a lion. Admiration, fear. The trumpet sounds. War. So there is a place for every note in this world. It's not that notes. But now imagine a group of humanity. Now I'm coming to the practice. Young students. All the time, if they are being exposed to music which is very loud. Loud music, you know, was specifically used for in war situations, because elephants, all these are fighting. They have to be awake, like when car driver is driving. So what happens? The typical thing is put a music, no? Especially at night. Put some music so that he keeps alert and awake. So it was meant to keep everybody alert and awake. So you will see drums beaten, you know, so that you don't fall asleep in the middle of the war. Now imagine if every day you are on hyper alert mode. So what is going to happen to the body? When you are hyper alert, lot of even physically, biologically, adrenaline is being secreted. Lot of hormones, because the body is getting a message, I must be on alert, I am on war. And along with the adrenaline which is being secreted, what will the psychological state? That music evokes, as she herself said, you know, roar and thunder, fear and courage. In war you need it. But imagine somebody always living as if on the edge. So what is going to increase when you don't have an outlet, when there is no real war? You will have anger. So that's why there is a place for everything and there is a time for everything. That's what we should understand. And the other part is that when only these kind of music predominate the world arena, or there are places like, you know, there are places in I don't know where, but there are, like, where you have this kind of party, you had that, you know, certain parties, all only this kind of music runs. So what happens? It puts people on a very hyper alert mode. And if constantly they are exposed to it, they will become blunted to the softer notes of life, which have their own charm. Okay? Because they are all the time hearing these voices. For these reasons, one should know the difference, the effects of each note, and accordingly we should calibrate our life and the life of the community. Yeah.
So is it not so that some kinds of music are really bad for the consciousness and some are uplifting, or it always needs a blend and every type of music has dualistic?
Okay. So different kinds of music. Well, there is a kind of humanity which... or there was a kind of humanity. If you go to the tribal music at some point of time, you will see a lot of drums in that. So basically, when you say good or bad, we are using judgmental and pejorative terms. So I don't want to use those terms. I would rather say what is its effect. Now, there is a medicine which may be very bitter, very strong, but may be needed at when you have a you know, certain kind of illness. So there are music, particularly this kind of loud music, metallic and, you know, rock band, and these music do titillate the lower vital energies. I'm not talking of good or bad. It's for each one to decide. We are nobody to judge and tell people. It stimulates those parts. But when you go to classical music, where there is a, even here there are ragas and notes, but there the ragas are like flowing very smoothly, especially the raga. So this music helps you to go deeper. Similarly, there are music which can be loud, but they are very powerful. Mozart, extremely powerful. If you hear to certain, scales of Mozart, it's like something coming from top and massively hitting you hard. But it's like a power which is coming from above. Beethoven is a balance of both. Indian classical, I have already told you, it helps you to go deeper and deeper. Now, this is the effect. Now, people can make a choice. If they want to live in this state, which is a lower vital, then what happens? It stimulates the lower vital, but when you stimulate the lower vital, many things come with it. So, there is a kind of music which is associated with anger, frustration, sexuality, and it is meant to actually express it. Now, if people believe, well, that's the only level at which human beings should live, it's their choice, but that's a very primitive animal level. If they want to live in there, it's fine. But if they want to be something more than just an animal, then there is a necessity of upscaling the notes. Again, it's not just about loud and soft music. As I said, certain notes of Mozart, They are pretty powerful, but of a different kind. So this differentiation, to know the difference between these different kinds of music, that people should know. Yeah.
Sir.
Shall we take some other questions also?
Sir, even in Indian music, certain ragas have the rasas.
Yes, yes. So that takes us to another question, which is about rasa. Rasa is a very wonderful, thank you for touching that. It's not only about music. According to Indian system, behind all the different bhava, there is rasa. What is rasa? Rasa is delight. So there are different bhavas. It comes mainly in Natya Shastra. It comes in other things also. So behind, what are the bhava? They speak about, actually navras is a misnomer. Now people also speak about 10 rasas. But whatever be the number, basically they are different modes, bhava. How you feel, how you experience. But behind every bhava, there is a rasa. For instance, there is a karuna rasa, which you see in the image of Buddha, shant, karun, that. But when you see Shiva, then it's a different rasa. Not Shiva in his quiet state, but Shiva as a Rudra, Rodra. So that's a different rasa. So behind everything there is a delight. But what is beautiful is in creation, you'll see it in described beautifully in Savitri, in book 2, canto 1, where all the worlds are described as in one vision. So Sri Aurobindo writes very beautifully, there were things there which if enacted here would create hell. But there in that totality, they were in their just proportion and right measure. So what is evil? Evil is something which is not in its place and time. So this is how the whole problem of world, because in space and time, the balance is lost. So essentially, rasa is when you put something in its right place, right time, the right note, then it creates rasa. When Bhim goes and takes away the bhuja of Dushasan, who is that poet who has immortalized his Dushasan ko bhuja av khade, when you hear it, it generates in you virta, virras. But if you put it out of context, jaake haath ukhad diya, see, this is khun pi liya, khun ka pyasa. See, this is the problem. This Indians understand, many Western people don't understand this distinction, this idea of ras. So ras is fundamental. So any music, art, anything should be able to evoke that ras. As you rightly said, that's its purpose. That's what I'm saying. Trumpet should bring out the veer ras. But, or loud music. But what we normally see, you know, nobody calls for war with a basuri. Nice basuri. Basuri you associate with Krishna's dance. But before war, what does Sri Krishna do? He uses the panchajanya. He blows the conch. So that's how the rasa behind everything, things in the right place, right note, right balance. This is what is the big problem of universe, where everything is there, but it is not in its right place and time. This is the cause of confusion and disorder.